peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen.
That was the unofficial theme song of our very first ever Arise Good Things Radio Women's Retreat that just occurred March 10th through the 13th. In fact, it's been a while. I appreciate your patience in getting this podcast up. I was hoping to get it right away up and out there to talk about this retreat, but my wonderful producer was on vacation and I needed a little vacation too. So thank you for your patience and grace in this show today. If you weren't there at the retreat, we're going to do to the best of our ability, everything we can to transport you right into the Loyola Retreat House for just a little recap of the weekend with us. And if you were one of the 58 ladies from across the country to attend, this is just going to be a little highlight reel. And also, I want to do my best to make up for lost time since it's been a while. We had so much feedback, fantastic input from our last episode about running and worship and how everything we do fitness-wise, health-wise, I guess I should say, can really be sanctified. It's not about being a certain size or trying to look a certain way. It's about glorifying God with the one and only body that we have. And it's not about being a body. We have a body. We are a soul and it goes together. So you just had the most wonderful insight. And I don't think we're going to have time to get to all that at this episode. In the next show, which I promise is going to come up pretty quick right after this one, it's a little bonus. A thank you for being patient. We'll cover that. We got just so many great emails and feedback, but within the next week, we'll do that. Also, we're readying our hearts for the resurrection of Easter Sunday as well. So we want to touch on that, not just in this episode, but in a following episode that will come within the next few days as well. And on today's program, Father Nathan Cromley, our resident Padre in your pocket feature host, will join us. He was also our retreat master for Arise, and so he'll share some powerful thoughts about some of the attendees themselves and his takeaways from the weekend. Also, we're preparing for Holy Week. So with that in mind, let's begin. Would you join with me in prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus Christ, in this sacred and solemn week, when we see again the depth and mystery of your redeeming love, help us to follow where you go, to stop where you stumble, to listen when you cry, and hurt as you suffer, to bow our heads in sorrow as you die, so that when you are raised to life again, we may share in your endless joy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So in live radio, the rule of thumb for an event, a concert, a promotional appearance, even a remote is just, okay, quick recap and then move on. Because when you do events, it's kind of like a secret handshake in that those who are in on it are interested and want to hear all about it. But those are people who are not feel like, okay, we're not included. Can you move on? So this is a little bit different because I know because it's such a prayerful program, an audience, a family of sisters and brothers. I want to at least offer some highlights because I know how many were joined together, even if you weren't going, and just some of the fruit that the Lord gave by the end of the weekend. So kind of our Ebenezer stone that we're going to raise. And so that's what I want to start with, just a quick overview of the weekend and then some of the feedback that was early coming in, even by the end of the Arise retreat. So everybody headed to Loyola Retreat House after flying in or driving in. And there was a small but mighty team that helped to get everything kind of up and running. So I want to thank Marie and Vicky and Christina and my husband and also our producer, my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios for setting everything up in terms of the audio and the sound system that we would need. And also, they were our shuttle drivers and our hospitality. So that was a big day just to get everybody in and settled. And you know, I think it takes that full night's sleep to kind of feel like, okay, where am I? And I'm ready to go like the next day. But that night was fun. We had an an opening introduction. So people said where they were from, and that was wonderful because it was all over with all different stories. And it took a couple hours, but it felt so nice because I felt like that was the time where you really got to know each and every woman, even if it was just for a few minutes. And I know it's never fun to have a mic in your face and just say go, but everybody did a wonderful job. So that was the beginning. And then we had the opening conference with Father Nathan. We had chocolate and wine and lots of giggles. And this group could talk, which was just so fantastic. And it was, that's what you hope for. So then every day kind of followed a similar cadence in that the next morning we had silent breakfast. That was wonderful. Then talks. Father Nathan spoke to all of our hearts. I have no doubt about that. I think I have 5 pages of notes. And then after that, we had small group Bible study, Mass, the Liturgy of the Hours, lunch, Holy Leisure, which was wonderful because we had so many great speakers in there as well. Lisa Hendy was one of our speakers. She talked about nurturing your soul and mind and body. Sarah Reinhart, she talked about slowing down in prayer. Jennifer Willits talked about having a holy balance. And then Andrea Singerella, she made just wonderful bookmarks. And even if you're not crafty, there's something about just kind of being in a room with a bunch of ladies talking and doing something pretty and creative that is therapeutic. And it was wonderful. Friday night, we had Stations of the Cross. I know Father Nathan's going to talk about that a little bit, but what a powerful experience that was. And every one of the speakers, the workshop leaders, and even the worship leader, Ben Walther, brought something different to the retreat and needed. And it was such a beautiful experience. And one of the ladies, now I don't remember who it was, Stephanie or Julia, I can't remember, but they made the comment that when we made on Saturday night a rosary with all candlelights, we did a procession out into the night, which was a beautiful evening that started to rain, but then it stopped. Everything was dry and we were in front of Our Lady of Fatima Grotto. And she said it was like we were making a human rosary where each one of our heartbeats kind of linked as a chain. What a beautiful sight. And then singing, and that was powerful. And then Sunday, we said our goodbyes, we attended Mass, we had lots of hugs, and that was it. Just like that, it was over. But I wanted to just share some of the testimonials from the weekend. And of course, in that, I mean, it's one thing to just give you the highlights, but each one of the speakers, again, spoke to our hearts. Father Nathan, I spoke to our souls. And you don't say that lightly because it's one thing to hear a speaker, but it's another one to actually have the time to have it sit and penetrate your soul and ruminate there and allow the Lord to like really till that soil. And that's, I feel, what this retreat was able to give us that time to do. And then mixed with the worship and the contemplative time, all of that was so good. And I think it's easy to look back on the weekend and say, I wish I would have done more, or any vacation that you take, and say, I wish I was able to do a little bit more of that, or I wanted to get to know this person. But at the end of the retreat, there's no doubt, and even maybe weeks and months after, that what the Lord planted will bloom if it hasn't even already. So a couple comments for people who it's bloomed loud and clear, and that was Vicky. She said, ladies, Vicky was Miss Congeniality by the end of the weekend. She is our police officer attendee who not only is rough and tough, but she's warm and gentle. And what a light she was during the retreat. She said, I've read so many awesome testimonials after coming home to some chaos and working for a few days. I want to share what my reflections are for the weekend. First, I was hopeful to meet some new awesome women of God who would love me and inspire me. I found that in each and every one of you, whether it was a hug, a smile, a conversation, or a tissue, I found it. Number two, I was looking forward to Father Nathan's spiritual direction. As a woman, as a mom, as a wife, it seemed like every time he spoke, it was directly to my heart. His fire and passion are awe-inspiring and made me fall in love with our Lord all over again. Three, I was looking to recharge my spirit. The things I see at work break my heart daily, and I was worn down. I love my job. I try not to let the media get to me, but I got to the place where I was embarrassed to be a police officer. You may not realize it, but your applause on that first night and encouraging words throughout the weekend made me proud again. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I wanted to be inspired and go home and inspire my family and be the right kind of encouragement for my son who's discerning the priesthood. This is the one I was most concerned about. I'm happy to report my husband and I are on day 3 of praying together. That is awesome. This kind of experience is a once in a lifetime, a beautiful collection of souls. May the love of the Lord and his mother Mary protect you and keep you always. How wonderful. Thank you, Vicky. Mary from Queens, New York. If I could bottle her and unwrap her, I would on my low days, because what a wonderful companion, a beautiful heart, and a deep spirit this woman has. And she had a profound experience. And I'm going to try to just encapsulate it as quick as I can here, but it's worth sharing. She came all the way from New York and said this: I came in with a plan of what I wanted to accomplish at this retreat. I figured I would finally meet some devout Catholic women, have some extra time with God, walk around, admire nature, ogle some cows, stare tongue-tied at some beautiful Catholic media stars, and go home rested, renewed, and refreshed. That was my plan. It was a good plan. But turns out God was not okay with that, and he had much greater plans in mind. Little background first, she says, first, as long as I've been an adult, I've wrestled with feelings of isolation, despair, and an overwhelming sense of solitude and emotional disconnect from others. I've begged and implored God on bended knee to send a companion to the heart for me, and God did not answer my prayer. I prayed rosaries. I sat in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I told God I wanted desperately to have another serious Catholic woman in my life. It's too hard, God, to do this alone. Please send someone in my life. He said no. So about a few weeks ago, I said, okay, God, I see what this is all about. This is my cross. I don't make friends easily. I never have. Issues stemming from childhood. And maybe this is just something I have to accept. It's a cross. I get it. Through the cross of infertility was enough, but I guess that wasn't enough. It's a cross. So I said, I'll accept it. So I stopped begging, imploring, and pleading. I asked the grace of God to accept my cross, and maybe to be an example to the fairly indifferent Catholics that seem to be in an overwhelming number in New York City. And so that is the time that I went to Mass on Friday night. All throughout Mass, a feeling right in the center of my chest started building and building and building. Father Nathan said in his homily, there is no power that will ever stop Jesus from loving you. I swear he said it right to me. My eyes started to water. Me? God loves me that much? Me? And then I received the body of Christ. And I felt him. I felt him in me, next to me. He was in my skin. He was in my hair. The very air I breathed was saturated with his holy presence. He was with me. And I was not alone. I had never been alone ever. And the Virgin Mother slammed me in the head with her frying pan, kind of a side inside joke from Father Nathan as he shared through the weekend. But she said, as clear as a bell, it's about time you noticed my son. He's only been with you every step of the way. Ladies, I was a blubbering mess. Snot ran down my face. I could not stop crying. I was so overwhelmed. The love was like an earthquake in my soul. I felt I could have stayed there forever. All I could think of hysterically, clinging to him with all the strength of my being, was, God, don't leave me. Never leave me. And he said, I will never leave you. I love you, and you were worth it. I can tell you, I got 1,000 hugs that night from more than a few ladies, and every hug was a hug from Mary and Jesus. So I thank everyone who hugged me that night for being open to the Holy Spirit and giving me those Holy Spirit hugs. And as far as my plans go, as much as I love every single sister in Christ I met, I still love my lover, Jesus Christ, even more. And as beautiful as you all wonderful women are, you don't hold a candle to our magnificent Virgin Mother. And you know what? I love you guys even more now that I love him and her foremost. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, Mary, what a testimony. That should be a pamphlet given out in Mass before we go in and remember that, reflect on that, be reminded of that. It is so easy to forget that. And you know, the truth is, some people live a lifetime and never feel that consolation and that profound impact of the power of Christ in us, through us, and with us in the Eucharist. So thank you, Mary. Thank you for coming to the retreat. And I think that that one takeaway is enough for all of us to digest and just appreciate. And we heard from Lisa. What a story and testimony Lisa had. She said, "I trusted God for the first time in a long time. He showed me as well. I am not alone. I'm humbled by all those that I met. Thanks be to God." And then Melody, I love this. She said, "I came to the retreat in a low place. Physical, emotional, spiritual crosses from the last year have taken me to the bottom." And she said, "I was looking for courage to press on. And I came with a camera and I photographed nothing. I came with a keyboard and didn't type a word. I came with my own reading material and read none of it. God allowed me to reach such a place of fatigue and resignation that I didn't have the energy to interfere or claim anything as mine. I didn't even leave a picture to throw on Instagram, and I believe that's exactly where he wanted me. I did not arrive home refreshed in a physical sense, hello third trimester, beautifully pregnant, but rather renewed with the courage I had asked for. I am no longer afraid to press on." And she goes on to conclude, "Thank you all so much for every act and word of love. In many ways, I felt like a young child with many, many loving mothers doing so well what God made you to do, even in the midst of carrying your own crosses. Thanks be to God." And I loved that too. It felt like there were some Titus women. When you read the book of Titus, there's a scripture about the women mentoring the young girls. And many were of the same age demographic, but there were, I think my mom, she was the oldest one there, she said, she thought, but in the older generation that took the hand of the younger ones and said, "This is my story." And that was a beautiful thing to witness as well. And then finally, Anne, beautiful Anne, who is a physician. And so she says, "It may not be evident when a healer needs to be healed. We're masterful at hiding our vulnerability because we're bound by an oath and a system that inherently puts our needs second. It's a dry and lonely road. I sat in Mass today, awash in tears that would not stop. I reflected that 6 months ago, I was so burned out that I couldn't even cry. My wounds had become calloused and hardened. I was buried in my introspective tomb. Today, I am Lazarus awakening, removing the burial cloth, emerging and seeing the light. Arise." How perfect. Thank you, my sisters, for being my companions on this journey. Much love to you all. And I think it's fitting that our resident Padre in Your Pocket feature host and also retreat master, Father Nathan Cromley, is also on the show today with us to talk about his experience leading the retreat and from the holy sacred aspect of bringing the ladies into their soul and then pulling them back out with their light ignited. He's here to kind of, from that bird's eye view, share his perspective. Welcome, Father Nathan.
Thanks, Brooke. I'm just so glad to be with you again.
What a weekend. I know you were probably, I was going to say just as tired, but more fatigued, I'm sure, by the end of the weekend with your talks, the Mass, the tireless way you serve the women over the weekend, spiritual direction, confession, a listening ear. But thank you for doing that.
The pleasure was all mine. I felt blessed among women. Blessed am I among women.
And you, I knew you were funny, but you really had a good stand-up with the, especially Friday night. You know, so many women, we had the Stations of the Cross and a two-hour session of laughing and crying, on our knees praying, on our feet rejoicing. And the whole weekend was like that, I feel. So could you just kind of, from your standpoint, offer your perspective of these beautiful women that you had a chance to meet?
Absolutely. And I think the very first thing is then how awesome it is to have this opportunity to be with God. I was struck by that when we welcomed them in on the very first night, Thursday night. And you had some of them, some of the participants saying that they have never been on a retreat. One lady says, "I was on one in high school. Does that count?" You know, we all said, "No, that does not count." You know, well, that means that for some of them who are coming, it had been over 10 years, 15 years since they'd had time alone with God. And it was almost like the joy of watering a garden. You know, if you have that, if you have a little garden outside and you know that that water is just being soaked up by the earth, it's almost fun to spray it and watch it because the whole earth seems to give thanks just to have that opportunity. That's kind of what it was like being in charge of the retreat.
Well, and I also think that there was fertile soil. The women that were there were so open and receptive. And from what we could see, I know internally that we all have different personalities and many were, and myself included, just nervous to even go. There was Lisa who flew for the very first time
by herself and had the courage to come to this retreat and was so transformed. And I know in some of these weekends, you don't always know immediately what it is that the Lord wanted you to receive. Mm-hmm. Many did, but it has to be something that you see unfold over time as well.
Yes. Remember that the image that is traditionally used for grace is that of a seed. So the seed of grace ends up blossoming into glory. Even Christ speaks of his word as a seed that then grows in us, or leaven that with a little bit of time takes possession of the dough. There's a process that takes place when you go on a retreat. God plants something in your life. He gives you something, but it takes time for it to unfold itself. And so in a sense, it's a mystery. And we never really understand the value of these events until when we get to heaven. And we look back and we see that because of that event, so many things in our lives were changed or averted. We're walking in faith, even with respect to ourselves. I remember in Monkland, they say to us, never judge your own prayer. Because sometimes what you think is the worst prayer is actually the best prayer in the eyes of God. Mm. You can't judge it. Don't look at yourself. Keep your eyes on him. And so I think of the same thing with a retreat. We'd be amiss to focus more on the presence than on the gift giver.
Mm. Amen. And the reentry time. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about that because—
Don't burn up on reentry.
That's a great slogan. But I sent an email out after the ladies return, because I know, and for myself, you feel like your heart has just been laid out on a table or in your hand, and then you go back into regular life, and it's easy for it to get stomped on, or you want to just kind of hold this flower without it being trampled, and it's very easy to quickly have that honeymoon period, rub away.
It's the honey and the honeymoon. The honey gets, oh, really? Welcome home. Well, here's this and this and this that happened, and then before you know it, you're just overcome.
I think we know that. You touched on that. I think I shared a little bit about that also. But the practicality, I think for anybody listening, and whether they were at the retreat or not, when you have a mountaintop experience, how do you come down from that and then not be like, well, that was a waste? Because sometimes we can go even lower then if something happens or you feel like all of this and I really didn't get as much out of it. Or why aren't I applying all these things I just learned?
Thank you. I think that comes exactly from what I said before. We focus on ourselves. We're like, okay, I should be changed. And so I need to feel this or that, or I need to even be this or that. And then since I don't feel anything, it's all gone. And that's just not the way to live a retreat. The idea of the retreat is to uncover the face of the one who's hidden in normal time. So you have uncovery of that face by his word being preached at you and the liturgy being celebrated and the people welcoming you. It's like you're tasting heaven, but heaven is with you always. And so the goal when you go back is not to look for that retreat again. You can't live in your home like you were on that retreat. It's because it's not.
No one's going to fill your tray when you bring your plate up to have something to eat.
Or just want to talk to you because they have time to talk, you know. Instead, though, what we need to do is focus in on the God who's there, the same God who I could feel and I was enveloped by when I was on the retreat, is just as present in my day. And when he's inviting me to serve him, almost on the retreat, he serves us. And here in the world, we go back to serving him. But our eyes should be totally on him. It doesn't matter what I feel, or even if I feel like I've lived a good retreat. What matters is Christ is resurrected from the dead. And he's in front of me asking me to serve him and feed his sheep. And so that's what I do. Imagine if it wasn't a retreat. Imagine how do great preachers do this? Or how did Mother Teresa live, knowing that every time she turned around, she was great doing a miracle? Or how did the Pope John Paul II, who was a saint, how did he live at that time? Well, the trick is that in all things that they do, they have their eyes more on Christ than on what they're doing. And that way, be it success or failure, good times or bad, ups or downs, good feelings or not, retreat or home life, we're moving forward towards Christ in love.
Hmm. Was there anything for you personally that you took away from the weekend, or did you just want a nap?
Oh, no. I took a lot away. As the priest, you get to see the hearts of the women. And that always edifies me because you're being built up by, you're surrounded by saints when you're the priest. and you see the sanctity of each one of the women coming, and every one of them just brought me a different facet of the face of Christ. So I left a lot more fed and a lot more rejuvenated than I was when I came in. That retreat was wonderful for me. Even being able to be close to Jesus and see how he sees the situations of your lives. I mean, what an incredible perspective. I get to listen to you, and I get to listen to Jesus, and I learn so much from both.
Hmm. Wow. Well, that's fair. I think that's edifying to us to hear that, because we know you acting as a proxy for Christ. Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah, you could say that. Sure.
Is not someone listening and sitting in judgment, but I think still we have our insecurities, and you just wonder, like, what are they thinking? So it's nice to hear that.
I'm always in awe. You know, when you hear confessions and then you're just in awe at the work of God in that soul. And so, I mean, people really don't understand, I guess, what it's like to be a priest. When you're a father and you don't judge your children, you appreciate them. And the very fact of having them near you and being able to interact with them makes you a better person. So I loved that retreat. The image for me, I think, that sticks with me the most powerfully is the candlelight procession to Our Lady. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I invented it, so that's why I liked it. But I loved having you all there. Two by two, the women were each holding a candle in the night, and the air was perfect. The wind didn't blow out the candles, and we walked side by side through the night holding candles. I thought that was so special. And then we stood underneath the statue of Mary. None of us wanted to leave. So we said a decade of the rosary. I tried to preach, and then a little baby upstaged me. Mm-hmm. And so we just sat down. And then after that, we started singing. And we just didn't want to stop singing these hymns to Mary. I mean, how precious is that? It was like we touched our hearts again.
I'm trying to remember who it was, but one of the attendees, one of the beautiful ladies, said it was like a human rosary, you know, where we were connected by our hearts and these candles.
Right.
And there were, you know, just a little over 50 of us there. So, I mean, it really was like these beads of beautiful women. So,
how many women were on the retreat?
I think total 58, because we had in the end a couple that came during the day, and then there was one that didn't show up. So I'm in my mind trying to, you know, get a final tally, but about that, which was really, it was an oversold event, but I loved that number because it wasn't so big that you weren't able to really connect with each one, but it was big enough that you felt like it was a good size and a lot of people were being blessed.
Well, the beads on the rosary, there's 59 beads. So 58 plus one angel would have made 59.
One Father Nathan.
There we go. I get the final count. Yeah, I'd be 59.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thank you so much for just your time and your service, your faithfulness, and not just your faithfulness, but the level. I think each one of these women I knew, I mean, I know you, but not to that degree. I've seen you, I've heard you, I'm blessed to call you friend, but it was kind of fun because it's like, ooh, these ladies have no idea. And it was just really neat to see the Lord work in their hearts and that they were open to it. So thank you.
And the word, I think, to take away for all those who've been able to come on the retreat and those who weren't is that phrase from St. Francis de Sales. He said, we need to pay more attention to the giver of the gifts than the gifts of the giver. And I think that that's just a beautiful thing for us all.
Yep. And I think gift is the operative word. It was this weekend. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless.
Thank you, Father Nathan. And I'm so grateful for the choir of angels and the retreatants and Father Nathan to sing the beauty of this retreat. That's really the prayer. And that's only a few songbirds in this entire beautiful group. Ironically, I realized for me that I'm probably the worst person to ask about this retreat. So that's why I'm so glad that so many of you were willing to share your experiences. Because I think, number one, that it's just a very busy time as an event planner to really sit and take it in. But personally, what was interesting and very unexpected for me is I was thrust into a very dark place over the weekend in what I had anticipated for the last 6 months as a moment of pure and absolute light, this fire that I would be drawn near to. And instead, it was darkness. And all I can say about it is this, that in some mystical way, I look at it as a gift. And in some aspects of it, I felt like I was in hell, which is the worst thing that you would think that I could possibly say. But I know that you understand. When I say that, I mean it from a spiritual standpoint. And I felt like it was an Easter gift from the Lord in an odd way. And I don't know that I felt that at the time, but the level of loneliness that I felt over that weekend was like down to the subterranean level of my soul. And just an unexplainable sense of abandonment in a time where I was surrounded by people. But in that feeling, I was united with Christ. I was able to enter the Garden of Gethsemane in a way, in a new degree that I have never done before, a depth that I've never felt before. And as he was in agony, where there was blood running in his sweat, and his friends slept, they were asleep, and he was left uncomforted. And he pulled me into that mystery in only a way that can be, I think, traveled in a spiritual walk and understanding that, and to be denied by a friend. He was denied three times. So many parts of his passion we can look to in our own times of suffering. And I know you know that those who believe in the redemptive power of suffering see that it is not a stumbling block, it's a stepping stone. And that's how I felt. And I'm still coming out of it, but I see the gift in it. And my heart is so full while I'm empty, if that makes sense. So it's such a soothing balm then to see the fruit that has already come from this retreat. And as Father Nathan said, it's just the start. And we will never know the fullest of it all until we get to heaven. So I thank you. And there are so many people to thank and that I love. And I don't just say that as a sentiment, but I truly mean that in a sister type way. So I just want to again take the time to thank Marie Mansour for her right-hand woman assistance and all the contributors of the goodie bags. Danielle Bean, she made sure every woman got a copy of Catholic Digest, and Ruth Kanda, Wash University. And also, again, as a special thank you, I am planning an additional bonus podcast since this one was delayed. And there's so much more to cover about our last episode, from running in worship to Easter Sunday to Holy Week, that I think is important that we touch on. So we're going to do that coming up in the next few days. Please stay tuned. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your feedback and your support from the very beginning for this retreat. And if you have any additional input, we'd love to hear from you. Feedback@goodthingsradio.com is where you can reach out always. Also, some special thank you, thank you, thank yous. Thank you to Whitney Kern. Let's hear it for the girl. She traveled all the way to the Arise retreat and was one of my favorite people, although I know it sounds silly because I only had a chance to interface with her for a few minutes at a time, but I love her spirit. And Whitney is our newest, latest Podbean patron supporting Good Things Radio. Thank you so much. Thank you to Vicky, to Tracy, to Julie, to Amanda, everyone, all of our newest Podbean patrons. And basically what that means is it allows you to be a good friend of Good Things Radio, meaning that you are covered daily in prayer by our family, Ken and Barb and everybody else that has signed up to be a podcast daily, as well as getting a shout out on the show. And again, just to make it brief, to say I see merit in the program and I want to keep it going. So this allows our program to go and to grow on. And you can pledge any amount. No amount is too small. No amount is too large. There's no limit. So $1 a show, $20 a show, $100 a month. There's no minimum, no maximum. In return, you are a Good Things Radio good friend. And you can find out more by visiting podbean.com. Look up Good Things Radio. There's also an app that you can download as well. And you can sign up and be a Podbean patron that way as well. Again, feedback@goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out and say hello, share your thoughts. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. So to find out more, you can reach out to him at cumminghomestudio.com. God bless you. Happy Holy Week. And we'll be back in just a few days. Until next time, friends, God be with you, and may you arise and shine this day in all ways. Amen.